Glory. Well, it's been fun. You know, we started this year on the kingdom, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We've covered joy in the Holy Ghost. We talked about peace, and last week we talked about rest because it goes with peace. And I want to finish today on the rest. And it's called, which may be shocking, but living in the rest of another. I know that's shocking to you, but it's living in the rest of another. Is that good? You know, in the last week we talked, and I just hit this because the most important part of last week is Hebrews chapter 4. And I want to let us therefore fear lest the promise of being left us entering his rest, any of you should seem to come short. Father, we thank you for this word. Open their ears. For unto us was the gospel preached to them as well unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed in faith in them that heard it, but we which have believed do enter into rest. I want you to stop right there. You can forget reading the rest of it because you've believed and you've already entered into that rest. You can forget all that other stuff of laboring and working and trying to get in that. No, just forget it. The key is we which have believed do enter into that rest because Jesus is our Sabbath rest. That's the word there. It's used one time. It's sabbatismos. Jesus is your sabbatismos. What does that mean? That you're in him and he is your Sabbath rest. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You can forget all the rest of that stuff that goes with it. Jesus is your Sabbath rest. So we're going to learn what? To live in the rest of another. Amen? All right. Communion time. Oh, no. Hebrews, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 7. Wherefore the Holy Ghost say today, if you will hear his voice. There's a big old if. You going to hear his voice today? If you will, don't harden your heart. As in the provocation of the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Uh-oh. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always, what do they do? Err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into, what's the word there?
Rest.
Whose rest?
Rest?
What does he say? My. Circle my. You got to get this. It's not your rest. It's his rest. All right. Take heed, brethren. Who's he talking here? Lost? Uh-oh. He's talking to brethren. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief in departing from the living God. I want to tell you something. Your old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And it's a whole old heart of unbelief that departs from the living God. That's why he said he gives you a new heart and a new spirit, Ezekiel 36:26. Why? Because the old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and it's full of unbelief. And out of the abundance of the mouth, heart, the mouth what? So take care of which heart you're speaking with. Take heed, brethren, lest any of you what? There being any of you evil hearted in departing from the living God. But Steve, what are not of them that draw back, Hebrews 10:36 or 38:38. But them that believe to the saving of the soul. We don't draw back into unbelief, but we believe to the saving of the soul, right? All right. For we are made partakers of Christ. What is that word if? It means if. We hold our confidence steadfast to the end. Hebrews 1 said, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What is your beginning confidence? Christ. What is the middle of your confidence? Christ. What is the end of your confidence? Christ. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto him and only look to him. And if you are, since you've been risen with Christ, set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead and your life is in union and hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And what I say, we're coming back to get the rest of us. Because we're already seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. When he said it's finished, it was enough, Steve. It's more than enough. Amen. Okay. What is today? Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts in the provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? But with not them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear that they should not enter into his rest, There it is. Whose rest is it? His rest. But to them that believe not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. What kept them out? Unbelief or disbelief. They refused to believe. Unbelief is the thing that keeps you out. Now, you know, those are big words. Yeah, but that's one of them. And if. See, those words that comes to you sometimes, they're filled with unbelief and doubt. Yeah, but. Yeah, but what? We don't need yeah, buts. It's yay and amen in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's what it is. And you see, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. You know, Jesus was casting out devils and they accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And Jesus said, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, a house divided against itself cannot stand. But if I, by the Holy Ghost, how's he going to cast them out? By the Holy Ghost cast out devils, then the kingdom has come to you. See, there's only two kingdoms. You know, isn't that astounding? The kingdom of God is a kingdom of faith and believing. The kingdom of Satan is a kingdom of doubt and unbelief. But there's two kingdoms operating side by side. There's not three, saints. There's only two. It's either darkness or light. It's either God or Satan. That's the only kingdoms that's there. And Jesus said, what did he say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. Why did Jesus come? 1 John 3:8. He that sinneth is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why are we here? As my Father sent me, so send I you. John 20:21. He breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Ghost. Why are we here? To do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? To destroy the works of the devil. But what happened? Jesus made a show of him openly triumphing over him. He destroyed principalities and powers and made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it. And he said unto us, all authority has been given to you in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and kick devil butt. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have used that word. Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Pretty much.
To stop it. And how do we do that? By believing. How do we open the door? By unbelief. See, unbelief is the biggie. Why couldn't they enter into the rest? Because of unbelief. They brought back a good report of the land. They showed them all the grapes and showed them all that. And you know what the answer was? Yeah, but. There's giants there. Yeah, but. We're just grasshoppers. Yeah, but we can't do it. Well, God didn't tell you to do it. God said, I'm going to give it to you. See the difference? And what did he say to them when they went into land? And he said here in Joshua, listen. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave him rest round about according to all that he swore to their fathers, and there stood not a man before him all the days of their life. And Joshua 24:12 says, and I sent the hornets before you that drove out the Amalekites, drove out all the kings of the Amorites. What did he do? He sent hornets. He said, it wasn't with your sword that you did this. I sent a little hornet and drove them all out and just gave you the land. Now, catch this. When Jesus said it's finished, what did he do? He destroyed all principalities and power, and he gave it freely to you. You with me? So stand fast in that liberty and quit letting the enemy pull you back under his dominion of darkness. And so he wants us to enter into that Passover rest. Because Jesus, we're into that time. Who is our Passover lamb?
Jesus.
I'm telling you, saints, you know, we've been learning. I know you're getting older, some of you. We're living by the life of another. We're living by the faith of another. We're living by the grace of another. We're living by the glory of another. We're living by everything of another. Why? Because when he died, he put us in union with himself. There is no you anymore. When Christ, who is your life? He is your life. You have no life apart from him. So it's real simple, isn't it? It's just by another. And it's whose rest are we talking here? It's my rest. So Christ is that rest. And we enter into his rest. See, that's where he said, for they which believe do enter into rest. His rest. And then the real rest is the Sabbath rest from Christ, who being in the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the power of his might, the word of his power, by his what, Steve? Excuse me. All the word of his power. It's the power that's in the word. When he hath by himself, say by himself, purged our sins. He sat down. But you know what? We sat down with him. When he sat down, we sat down. Expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Okay. All right. By himself. Now, we look at that word. Let us labor to enter into his rest. If you happen to read on down, it's okay to read on down. But when you see that word, let us labor to enter into that rest, all that word really is saying eagerly. Let us eagerly, quickly enter into his rest. Why? Lest you be what? Deceived into unbelief. And you start saying, yeah, buts. And you start, yeah, but. Well, if. Because you know who's in charge of the if you be the Son of God. If. Who is in charge of those ifs? See, they're saturated with unbelief. And he said, as long as you're saturated with unbelief, you can't enter into what? His rest. Because he that enters into his rest has to first cease from his own labors as God did from his. How did we cease from our labors? Well, it's simple. When he was crucified, I was crucified. When he died, I died. That's pretty simple. A dead man can't work. A dead man can't labor. Only a live man can work. And we've been made alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, that's so simple. What did Joshua say in 1:13? Remember the words which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you the land. Do you want your inheritance? But first you got to have what? Rest. Then your inheritance. First thing he gave them was rest from all their enemies. And then he gave them the inheritance. They had rest. But then he said, hey, why don't you go get your inheritance? We've been here a long time and a lot of you still sitting back in your easy chair and hadn't taken your inheritance. Now I have to admit, you can enter into rest, but there is something sitting between you and your inheritance sometimes. And he may have these horns, and he may have a pitchfork, and he may say, no, I'm just going to stand in front of your inheritance so you can't have it. Well, that's why Jesus said, I've given you power and authority over some devils. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you have authority to get your inheritance. Jesus said what? It's finished from the foundation of the world so you can have it all. So if we got it all, where is it all? We're looking at that, aren't we? Some of us, we're still looking at it. And you know, in Luke 1:67-80, John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias, was prophesying, he said that he would save us from our enemies and from all that hate us. That's about 73 there, or 74, that he would grant to us that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies, or have we? Have we?
Yes.
Might serve him without what? In holiness, in righteousness, a few days of our life. How many days of our life? All the days of our life. You know, there's a little scripture. God showed me this, and it just may be just for me. It probably didn't fit you. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, God even makes his enemies to be at peace with him. Whew. Verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. And he said, is it possible that the enemies that you're having problem with every day are not really offended at your new man as much as your old man habits?
There you go.
Maybe through my old man habits, I may be giving place to who?
The devil.
Scripture says, give no place to the devil. Amen. Because that's not who you are. Right? It says, really says in 1 John, the wicked one can't touch the new man. So if he's touching me more than he should, it may be because I'm over there giving him permission to touch me more than he should. That's all we're going to say about that. Isaiah 30:15, for thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and what? Rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not. For you said, no, we're going to get on fast horses, Ross. And he said in the message, do you think your enemies are riding on nags? Go ahead. I'll just sit back and wait. And when you get tired, I'll be gracious to you. I'll wait and be gracious to you. See, we want to do everything we can to try to do it ourselves before we return and rest. In returning, in quietness and confidence in who? Him shall be your strength. And you know, Isaiah 30, it says in verse 7, I think, your strength is to sit still. Your strength comes from your rest. Does that mean, now Eric and I like our little recliners. We like to sit around and rest. But saints, I'm telling you, that's not inactivity. That's that you are doing what you're doing from a position of resting in his authority and power. It's Psalms 23. He prepares a table, a recliner for me in the presence of my enemies, not away from all my enemies. He prepares a recliner for me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness, his goodness and mercy will follow me some of the days of my life. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, what did Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot stand. You know, what did Jesus come to do? He came to give us a new house. Isn't that what Romans 6 says? He says, you know, Romans 6 says, you've been buried with him and raised to walk in a new life. The Message Bible says, you don't live in that old house anymore. You've moved to a brand new house, a resurrected house.
In a new country.
How simple is that? It's called exchange. It's living in the new house of another. Jesus said, I go to prepare a mansion for you. What does that mansion really mean? It means a room in Papa's house. These people just want a little cabin over in Glory Land. I'm sorry. If you've got a little cabin just over in Glory Land, that's going to be the most miserable place you can be. Because you're going to hear laughing, you're going to hear dancing, and you're going to hear the party going on in the Father's house. But you're sitting over there by your little campfire listening to what's going on and not a partaker. You know, I don't understand this, but one time I saw this vision. It's so clear today. And it was like I could see this city and the lights coming up, and the dancing and the music going on. And there was little campfires all over the hills. And all the people sitting and listening to what was going on in Father's house. And seeing what was going on, but not a partaker of it. You know, that could be hell. To hear it and see it, but not be able to be a partaker of it. Think of all the emotions and rejection you could go through in there, not being able to be a partaker. But see, his divine power has given us power to become partakers of his divine nature, his promises. It's his word that gives us power to be partakers of his divine nature. So we can enter into that rest that he's given us. Rest, inward tranquility, while one performs necessary labor of driving a truck every day. What? Inward tranquility. While we perform our necessary work. That's what he's prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. Alan harps on this all the time. He said all everybody ever quotes is, in this world you shall have tribulation, but give good cheer, I've overcome the world. But they don't quote the best part. That sounds like the enemy, doesn't it? Oh, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. No. First thing he said is, in me, you're going to have peace. So you can handle the rest of what's going on if you're in peace. Oh, that sounds like a message to me. Matthew 11, Jesus, what did he say? Come unto me, all you that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you my rest. That means recreate, refresh, or to fresh. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Really, it means learn me. Just learn me. That's what it's all about. The Holy Ghost has come for us to learn Christ, who he is. That's what he's doing for us. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Rest. A recreation. What does that sound like? Recreation. Somebody say it. It's okay. Say recreation. It's not unspiritual. Come on. Say recreation. Because you know what recreation really is? It's a recreation. It's a recreation. New life. You'll find recreation for your souls, your mind, your will, and your emotion. That's what he said you'll find. For your souls. See, there's two kinds of rest here, and there are a little difference in the words. The first rest is the rest you get when you get born again. The second rest is the rest you find for your souls. It's a little different rest. So you can go look that up, you teachers, if you want to. You'll find it's one number off in the Hebrew. The Greek, I mean. Amen? Oh, Lord. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. The righteous perish, and no man lay it to heart. And the merciful men are taken away, and none considers that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into his rest, and they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. You know what I saw when I read that? That's just a prophetic word about the exchange life. You're taken away from the evil that's come. You've entered into his peace and his rest. And it's walking in his uprightness. You don't have to die to get that. Because you're already dead in Christ. It's a prophetic word about the exchange life. Isaiah 57, 1 and 2. Most of the world, even Christians, don't believe you can find peace and rest in this world. Why? Listen to the songs. Just a few more weary days, and I'll fly away. Looking over the Jordan to that land. Ah, oh, Lord. Devil's had a heyday, hadn't he? Pie in the sky, by and by, when you die. But Jesus has come that you might have life and have it abundantly when? Now. He wants you to enjoy it now. Okay, Eric, I'm getting close. You can start stirring up and trying to get up. It takes you a little longer to get up here than it used to. So you go ahead and start stirring and getting up. Amen. You know, most people enjoy this. Just a little relief is all they want. How do you spell relief? You owe it to yourself. You know, the children of Israel, Exodus 14:12. The children of Israel liked to be under bondage to Pharaoh. They just wanted him to lighten a little of their burdens. Now, that's a mouthful, guys, if you'll see what he's saying here. They really didn't want to do all he wanted to do. They just wanted a little relief. In Exodus 14:12, read it for yourself. They told Moses, "Didn't we tell you we did not want to leave Egypt? Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians." A lot of Christians just want their life insurance policy that they can go to heaven when they die, but they don't want their lives messed with. I'm happy to serve here in Egypt. And you wonder why we don't have abundant life. You're looking at me awful strange. You think I said something that's not right? Just want an insurance policy that says I get to go to heaven when I die, but I want to do my own thing and I want to serve Egypt while I'm here. That's all I'm going to say about that. So, Eric, come on up. Ephesians 2:5 says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with him in Christ, and has raised us up and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So that's where you are today. So if you be risen with Christ, set your thinking on things above, not on things of the earth. Amen.
Amen.